And welcome to the latest episode of Nerds Amalgamated. I'm Buck. With me, I have the DJ.
Hey, guys.
How are you going?
Oh, I've been good.
That's good. And how are you going with your assignments?
Yeah, pretty good. It's pretty quiet and not getting any assignments for another week or two. So, yeah.
You been working on them, though?
Well, I've been reading through the outlines. That's the bright side.
So, in other words, you're going to leave to the last minute again.
Well, maybe not.
I hope not. And also with us, we have the professor.
Hello.
And how are you going, professor?
I'm going very well. I'm enjoying my day without any assignments because I'm a graduated student.
So you say that every episode.
I know.
We're graduated. We're doing postgraduate studies.
I still get a public holiday, though. So you guys are working on assignments.
Yeah, I know, but you were at the dawn service this morning?
Yeah, so I went to services this morning.
Mm-hmm. With a bunch of kids. That would have been fun before the sun came up.
No, actually, I was lucky I didn't end up with the kids this year.
Okay. So, before we kick off the show, just wish to express our sympathies and condolences for the people in Sri Lanka that have suffered through the cowardly terrorist bombings. Wish people would just grow up and cut that crap out. And it's also Anzac Day, so I won't read out the ode. If you haven't heard that enough times today, then something wrong with you. But lest we forget. Anything else you guys want to add on those two topics?
Yeah, all I'm going to say is Anzac Day is that one day we pay homage to the veterans that fought for what we believe in now.
Well, wasn't it's just the like veterans one of two fought.
Days. We have Remembrance Day as well.
Yeah. It's not just the veterans. It's also all the people that are involved. So the nurses and all the engineers and everything in the background and made things happen. Yeah, although the engineers were quite often in the front line.
I always like going to the dawn service in the city. Mm-hmm. Because there they have people in costumes and like dressed up as the nurses and stuff.
Yeah.
And we took my grandpa's Willie's Jeep to the ceremony today.
Okay. That would have been exciting.
Yeah. We saw the cops poking around at one point and we were like, oh shit, are they giving us a ticket? No, they were just having fun.
Of course. That's the reason why they pull over half the cars they do, just so they can have a bit of a goosey gander. But moving along with the show now. You've got something for us about GB Studios.
Yeah, GB Studio is a link in the show notes, but it's a IDE, a visual IDE for creating adventure games like the original Legend of Zelda for the Game Boy. And it produces fully compatible Game Boy code that runs on an original Game Boy.
Hang on. Does that mean Nintendo's going to be seeking a law injunction to stop it and shut it down and bring everything to a screaming halt?
I hope not.
Well, they always stop everything else.
There's no actual copyright breach here.
Yeah, but they go and stop anything else that's fun. It's associated with their stuff.
Yeah, they try.
DJ's gone quiet.
Yeah, I did remember Nintendo recently sued someone and they stopped. Someone. They stopped someone recently.
Do remember the time we talked about the time Nintendo sued someone and stopped someone. And
that's
thinking of Emu Paradise.
No, that was Emu Paradise. This was very recent, but Nintendo does really have a habit of stopping people copying stuff. I hope Nintendo doesn't do this to GB Studios, but the law has a funny way of doing things.
Even if they do, it's not going to stop it. You'll still be able to find it somewhere on the internet. Like, they might have shut down Emu Paradise. That's still out there. A couple of years ago now, they shut down Pokemon Uranium. That's still floating around. I'm still sitting on a copy of that.
Sounds kind of uncomfortable. So, is this something that's going to be able to produce some fun games that we're all going to be able to enjoy, or...?
I think so. It the key features, it comes with a web emulator.
Okay.
So I've kind of seen something like this before. I think it's called 8-chip, which is a 8-bit computer emulator designed to for making retro games.
Okay.
And in this case, you can export the game to a web emulator of some sort using a HTML5. And apparently you can input touch controls. So I'm going to be curious to check out the emulator that it's based on.
Okay, that'd be cool.
But my favorite feature's got to be that you can load it into a real Game Boy and play this game on a real Game Boy. I don't see the audience for it. I don't know why you bother doing it, but it's one of those things that's so cool that, you know, why haven't we done it sooner?
Mm-hmm. Although looking at some of the information here, it's not just Nintendo, it's any of the handheld devices, but it's also saying here it's built for Mac OS, Windows, and Linux. So
yeah, so anyone can run the development tools.
Mm-hmm.
And because it runs in the web, then anyone can play it as long as they have a web browser.
Okay, so you're not limited only to playing it on like a handheld device, you can play it on a PC.
Yeah.
That's cool, then.
Here's the recent one with Nintendo doing a stop. So turns out Nintendo was taking down a C64 remake of the Super Mario Bros.
Oh, man, I was looking forward to that one.
Way to go. I'm still not happy with Nintendo after E3 last year.
Bucky's never going to let it go.
No, he's not going to let that go.
If they just stopped everyone, if they just stopped trying to stop everyone from having fun, I'd be quite happy to go with it. But they just seem to be going out of their way to be the biggest, pardon the term, dildos that you can find.
Oh, no. I thought the biggest dildos at the time was EA Games. They still
I just want to. I like that a year ago when we started this, we were all very careful not to swear.
I still generally try not to swear.
Yeah, it's just the DJ drives you to it.
You do pretty well too sometimes, but yeah. Talking about dildos, though, I suppose we should move on to the DJ's topic. Did you like that segue?
That was such a weird segue.
I don't know.
I forgot what the DJ's topic is, and now I'm scared.
People who know the DJ will understand the reference there.
I doubt it, but okay. Okay. Oh, so Batman's turned 80, and to celebrate
it's not Batman.
It is Batman.
It's DC Comics.
Well, they're saying here it's saying here it's the return to theaters for a big anniversary. 2019 marks the 80th anniversary of Batman's debut in DC Comics.
I thought it was DC Comics, not Batman. My goodness, he's looking good for his age.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure we mentioned Batman's 80th birthday a few weeks ago. This guy has a lot of birthdays.
So, to commemorate his 80th birthday, cinemas in America are planning to do a movie marathon of sorts by releasing the original Batman movie quadrilogy, which includes Batman, Batman Returns, Batman Forever, and Batman and Robin.
Is this the one where Batman had bat nipples?
We can either confirm or deny that. I think it was the Val Kilmer one and the George Clooney, he had nipples.
The George Clooney one is the one that had the bat nipples, and yeah, Val Kilmer didn't really had nothing. There was nothing memeable about that movie.
There was lots of things memeable about it. It's before lots of people started doing memes.
Although it's interesting how they didn't put the other Batman movies, such as the Christian Bale edition or the Ben Affleck editions.
Everyone's seen them not that long ago.
Mm.
The Batman and Robin quadrilogy came out like 20 years ago now.
Thanks for making me feel old. I remember seeing them in the cinema when they first came out. I even had, in 1989, I had the big Batman logo poster on my bedroom wall. So, yeah. No, it's...
Did you have a secret tunnel to a bat cave behind it?
No. Unfortunately, on the other side of the wall was the bathroom. So if I tunnel through there, it would have been into the toilet. You don't want that coming through the wall.
It's still kind of a bat cave.
Well, outside my bedroom...
Does all his thinking in the shower.
Outside my bedroom window, we had the roof of the garage, and I could slip out there quietly and disappear down into the bushes at the side of the house. So I had my escape route. But yeah, no, it was... These movies were almost as camp as the original Batman series, like with Adam West.
Yeah, what do you guys think of them?
I enjoy them. I've got them on DVD.
The Adam West series?
No, the
movies.
Batman and Robin ones.
Oh, they're pretty good for the time. Like Michael Keaton played a good Batman for his time.
All four movies were great.
What about Jim Carrey as the Riddler? Man, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it was, but he played it pretty close to similar to how it used to be done originally back in the Adam West series, which is where he was taking his cue from. And it was because of those sorts of things that made it so much more fun. Like Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman was just such a blast from the past when you looked at the cat suit and all that. And she definitely had the body for the extremely tight latex outfit. The funniest one of all was actually Danny DeVito as the Penguin.
Man, that just weirds me out seeing photos in that costume.
What did you guys thought
Danny DeVito, so he'd weird anyone out.
What did you guys think of Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face? That was a weird, weird choice.
Not really, because he did it pretty well. Jack Nicholson as the Joker was pretty intense.
Well, Jack Nicholson as the guy who kills people is always pretty intense.
Well, yeah.
He's more intense than a scout camp.
I'd say that costume played a brownies, but we might get in trouble for that.
Although that debate about who's the best Joker will still go on for years and years to come.
Well, we know no one's ever likely to say it's Jared Leto.
Nah, no one will say Jared Leto is the best Joker.
I have to say, it's a pretty close tie between Jack Nicholson and what's his name?
Ledger.
Yeah, Heath Ledger. But two totally different styles of Joker, though. You have to acknowledge that. So it's kind of like trying to compare an orange and a mandarin. So yeah.
Did you guys ever watch the Batman the Animated Series?
I've watched some of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of episodes.
Mark Hamill, best Joker voice by far.
Yeah, but see, then again, like that's a totally different Joker again. Like that's totally different feel. Like Jack Nicholson's Joker was like the 70s and 80s style, or late 60s, early 70s camp style Joker with that absolute perfect flair that Jack Nicholson brings to it. Heath Ledger was just... He was all kinds of fun, and he was the anti-hero criminal that everyone loved for the Joker. Like, he played the Joker as the Joker is supposed to be with he's performing for Batman, he's not performing for anyone else. And then when we turn around and we look at the cartoon series, it's a different type of Joker again, and yeah, Mark Hamill's voice is brilliant, but it's just... a different style of character again.
Yeah. It's funny how we were talking about the old Batman movies, but we've forgotten the George Clooney edition.
No, I mentioned George Clooney before.
Oh, I know, but we didn't talk in detail.
I mean, when was George Clooney Batman?
He was the last one in the set of four. So that was...
Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin, okay. And Batgirl with...
Alicia Silverstone.
Oh, so they had different Batman for each of those movies.
Yeah.
I think it was the first two movies they had, what's his name?
Michael Keaton,
and then it was Val Kilmer, and then George Clooney in the last one.
Although I will say Batman and Robin, even though we can all make fun of the bat nipples and everything, it was interesting in the sense of how they introduced a couple of new villains into the fold rather than the traditional villains like Joker and Two-Face, and the Riddler, you had like Mr. Freeze and Poison Ivy.
But they're traditional characters out of the Batman universe.
Yeah, true, but they weren't in the original films, though.
The original TV series, you mean?
No, no, I meant in the first, before Michael Keaton era, and the Batman and the Val Kilmer movie, there was no Poison Ivy or there was no Mr. Freeze. It was just Joker, Two-Face, and the Riddler.
Well, each movie had its own villains.
Yeah.
Same as the current ones, only have one main villain at a time.
Yeah. Well, did you guys like the portrayal of Mr. Freeze in Batman and Robin?
Yeah. Arnie had a great voice for it.
That wasn't his plan to boil all the water. Like, he had the toxin in it, but kind of ironic that the guy named Mr. Freeze is going to boil the water.
No, no, no. He was going to freeze everything, but... And what's the name? It was Poison Ivy wanted all the plants to take over, and he wanted to freeze everything else.
Okay. It's been a long time since I've seen it.
She was the one releasing the toxins. He was just freezing everyone.
It was interesting how Bane was also in that movie as well, as a side character.
Mm-hmm. But we will have to keep moving along now to the next topic, otherwise we'll run out of time, which is looking at... the latest in human gene editing and the controversy surrounding it. So we've got the latest in a string of questionably ethical scientists with Shakrat Mitalipov, who's saying he isn't deterred about the controversy surrounding gene editing and using CRISPR to edit out inherited diseases. So this is following after last year's announcement from China about the birth of gene-edited twin girls. So, yeah, I can see the movie Gattaca becoming more of a reality the longer this goes on.
But the ethical arguments covering gene editing is going to be huge.
Well, it's playing God, and who gets to say who's what's acceptable and what's not. Because as soon as you start playing with that sort of thing, you start messing with life finding its own balance and evolving on it as it needs to. So, like, one of the main fears is someone like this will turn around and decide, well, autism's an inherited disease, and they'll start targeting a gene therapy so that people who are autistic are no longer in existence. And then, yeah.
So you reckon they're not going to use it for altruistic purposes?
The initial start of it will probably be in that way, but we've seen too much in history where things that have started off as being altruistic have been hijacked by greedy, small-minded Bretons that shouldn't be allowed to breathe. So the initial development of TNT was for mining purposes. Lo and behold, someone thought, hey, I could stick this onto in this big bucket thing here and turn it into a bomb to blow everyone up. And then someone else thought, I could chuck a bucket of nails in there and create even more havoc. And then now that we're looking at all sorts of supposedly smart bombs, although apparently there was an article I saw heard mentioned the other day where apparently the US has killed more civilians than ISIS and the Taliban combined. So, smart bombs aren't really all that smart.
What's a smart bomb supposed to do anyway? You step on the landmine and it's like, oh, you're just a civvy. That's fine. Keep going.
Well, no, smart bombs are they're supposed to be what they drop from the planes or shoot from the ships and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, right.
It's all the guidance. So it hits only a specific target and only takes out a certain amount of damage and supposed to be ridiculously high accuracy and no collateral damage.
You're firing.
Isn't that what drones are for, though?
Pardon?
Isn't that what drones are for, though?
They're still getting it wrong.
Remember, you're firing $1 million missile at a $10 tent and hitting a camel in the bum.
Yep. Talking about a suppository.
But yeah, I agree with you, Buck, in terms of how this will be corrupted. This will be corrupted as the years go on, but
it's a definite, like, humanity has corrupted so many different things it's involved in. Just because you get people who are greedy and others that are too weak to say no.
Basically, humans can't be trusted.
Yep.
I, for one, welcome the lizard people overlords.
I still like the penguins.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, the penguin overlords will overtake the lizard overlords.
Of course, I still secretly support the penguin overlords. But I don't want to piss off the lizard overlords or they'll kill me.
But aren't the lizards the servants of the penguins to do all the desert work?
That would make a lot of sense.
Okay, we're on the way to the start of bingo. But, like, in this article, he's Mitalipov is saying, I think designer babies are way far off, but not so distant that researchers shouldn't be thinking about taking steps now to regulate the technology that could create them.
But that's just,
he's working on wanting to take out genetic diseases and inherited conditions. That's of creating course, it's a designer only about baby.
10 minutes past that before someone's going to get to change their eye color.
And I have to say, looking at a picture of this guy, he should be careful because he's not really looking blonde-haired and blue-eyed. So he might be getting edited out of the scheme of humanity. After all, if you watch Gattaca, it's the blonde-haired, blue-eyed babies are the ones that they all want.
Thinly veiled Nazi reference.
Well, no. It's nothing about the eugenics. Nazis. It was the eugenics of Gattaca. When you look at all the main alphas, it was all blonde-haired and blue-eyed.
Is Gattaca anything like Brave New World?
Similar, but completely different.
Okay.
Brave New World was a breeding program.
Yeah.
To create one sort of state of existence, and everyone was being killed off early and everything, whereas Gattaca is you go in and you pay to have a baby that's genetically superior. And if you're not genetically superior, you aren't able to get into certain jobs.
Okay, so it's got the same sort of class system, but a different way of getting there.
Yeah.
So we're entering into Brave New World territory, hey?
No. I've
been there for years. Not in the breeding programs and class systems, but in the distracting yourself from reality with drugs and television bit.
Yeah. Although part of that's resulting in a large number of senior citizens, which actually goes against Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. We haven't hit that utopian disconnect from reality.
Unfortunately, I want my damn helicopter.
I'd rather a flying car. I want the Jetson space car.
And if it makes that sound.
Yeah. But, congratulations to a bunch of brilliantly intelligent but epic morons for trying to speed up the destruction of humanity. Because there's going to be an idiot like this that'll turn around and go, you know, we're theists, we could bring back dinosaurs.
Are you telling me that's possible? Because I will go and start sponsoring people to do that right now.
Well, they've already got the technology there with cloning Dolly the sheep, and they've doing gene editing on twin girls. They could do gene editing on some of the lizards and birds to start bringing back some of the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
So it's not a matter of have they got the technology. It's just a matter of are they admitting that they've been doing it or not. After all, look at Donald Trump. No one gets that orange by accident. That's not natural. But we should probably move along before one of us says anything else more ridiculously stupid, and we have the NSA or the CIA coming after us for revealing their plans. Sorry, what was that?
As if they aren't already.
Well, they might be going after the DJ, but I'm safe. So what games have you been playing this week, DJ?
I've been playing Mortal Kombat 11, and holy smokes, that's a good game.
What about the $6,500 loot boxes?
although Ed, the creator of Mortal Kombat 11, said that that's actually a false statement.
Of course, yeah. They would.
It's $6,499. Get it right.
But oh man, I will say this: I've been playing the story mode so far, and the character designs has been interesting. In terms of some characters look good and some just look, what? Like, like really weird if you look at it aesthetically. Like Sonya Blade's face, for example, she just doesn't. Something weird about that face.
Look at the DJ judging women about their looks again.
Oh,
such a chauvinist.
You sure you want to do this? But like
characters. You're the one who turned around and said that she looks weird.
Well, I agree. Well, if you let me post it up and you'll see what I mean.
Sorry, listeners, you can't see that.
Yeah, second.
You're not talking about the character that's voiced by Ronda Rousey and modeled on her slightly for the facial expressions and so forth.
Yeah, that's the one.
So you're saying you're saying Ronda Rousey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The MMA legend who was champion for a while, who could literally kick your flabby butt without breaking a sweat and inflict all sorts of pain, looks weird.
Well, look, like I said, look at the picture. Look at the before and after, and you'll see why.
I'm looking at some of the pictures now, and the fact that it's based on Ronda Rousey makes me say, she looks absolutely gorgeous.
I will say the voice acting cast for this game has been pretty impressive. Like you got Frank Welker, famous for Dr. Claw, and in this game as well. You've also got Carrie Claw
from Inspector Gadget.
Yeah.
I don't think he understood what you meant for that one, because Dr. Claw never actually showed anything else except a hand.
Yeah.
And a cat.
You also have Carrie. I'm gonna butcher this name.
Really?
It's Kari Toku Togawa. Is it him? Yeah, here we are. Hiroyuki Togawa. He's also his voice is in this game as well. Playing as Shang Tsung. But game wise, aesthetically it looks okay. Yeah. Some of the it's also a grind system as well, mechanically. Like you have to go through so many challenges just to get a certain skin or costumes.
That's fine. Just means you have to play it. Means it's not some idiot who's buying stuff to make things happen. Although with the $6,499 loot box,
I mean, to be fair, it's not one loot box. It's the amount you need to spend to get everything.
Ah, okay. I was going to say, for that sort of money, you'd want it to actually come over and do your homework and cook your dinner and tuck you into bed at night.
Get a girlfriend. They would do that for cheaper.
Oh!
And on that note, the professor is now once again single, so any lady out there that's interested in playing mum to a giant baby.
Hey! I'm not giant. You are.
I might be giant, but I'm not asking for a lady to come over and tuck me in.
Speaking of that $6,440. Okay, so what? Ed Boon, the...
$6,440?
Oh, yeah, that's my mistake. So basically, Ed Boon comes out saying, where do these people get their information? The vast, vast majority of NK11 skins are not for sale. That's not how NetherRealm makes games. You have to earn them in-game.
Okay, so $6,500 to not even get everything?
Yeah.
I really hope I'm hearing that wrong, and he actually means that it would cost you $6,500 to unlock 100%, but you can't spend that much money on it.
No, it's you don't unlock everything.
That's disappointing.
But, yeah. Anyway, what game have you been playing, Professor?
I played a lot of board games weekend because I had a bachelor party where we went and sat in a hotel room and played board games all weekend.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. One of the ones I really enjoyed was Adrenaline. It's basically Quake as a board game.
Okay.
So you move around the map, pick up better guns, and shoot people. And it still manages to capture, even though it's a turn-based game, it still captures that really fast action that Quake's known for.
Yeah, it could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
The DJ's gone very quiet. Has he run away?
No, I'm still here.
Oh, it's just we couldn't hear you. It's like a 3-year-old on a puppy.
So the question I would ask is, how do you deal with the ammo short reloads and whatnot in this in the board game?
You have to pick up ammo tokens, which you use to then fire your guns. And at the end of each round, you get a reload phase where you can reload your guns if you have the ammo tokens for it. But it's generally pretty easy to scoop up enough ammo per round to keep your guns full.
I'm just looking at some of the pictures, and I have to say, the graphics on the board and the cards are looking absolutely epic, and the actual icon pieces you move around are looking pretty sweet as well.
Yeah, the guy I was playing looked just like Doom Guy.
Okay.
He would have been completely not out of place as a Doom protagonist.
Now, is that the blue one or the purple one?
The grey one.
Okay. I can't see the grey one on the picture I'm looking at the moment. Oh, okay, yep. And he looks a bit more like Sarge out of, what's his name?
Victory Arena?
No. The Xbox game.
Halo.
Looks kind of like Sarge from Halo with that helmet and profile.
Okay.
Just looking at the picture I'm looking at here, where I think it's one of the cards, and it's got him shooting a grey Sarge shooting a red Sarge, and there's two pictures of him, one with one drop of blood and another one with three drops of blood.
Yeah, so that tells you how much damage you do with your hit and what special conditions you take into effect.
Oh, okay.
And so you can spend extra ammo to do a harder hit.
Okay. This is with the chainsaw, so that was always my favorite gun.
Yeah.
Favorite weapon. Okay, I'm actually looking at the actual figurine now. That's actually looking pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
The amount of detail, like they've got the chain with the hook and everything. They've done well on this one. We might have to play this sometime.
Yeah, I'll see if it's available on Tabletop Sim.
Anyway, and I've been playing Assassin's Creed Unity, and I have to say I'm loving dropping down and killing the Templars, getting my murderous streak taken care of.
Did you enjoy jumping off Notre Dame Cathedral?
I did.
Oh, man, I got to start playing the Assassin's Creed games again. They were fun.
They still are.
Is it still available for free if you haven't got it yet?
I haven't checked. It was a limited time offer, so I'm not sure if it's running out on the 25th or the 26th, but it was coming up soon, I guess. So.
Yep.
Yeah, no, it will be free until 25th of April, 3 a.m. your local time. Yeah, okay. So it's not free now.
Well, for us.
Yeah.
And when everyone gets to listen to this, it'll be over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you haven't taken advantage of that offer, we did mention it last week. If you have taken advantage of it and you want to join, make a team with me, send us a message. Let me know. I've already done a couple of the co-op missions and it's fun. Anyway, moving along a bit further, we have the special shout-outs for the week. We have on the 20th of April, 1887, we had the world's very first motor race with George Bouton on a steam-powered quadricycle covering a distance of 29 kilometres. He boasted that his quadricycle could reach a speed of 60 kilometres per hour. It apparently, even though he could reach those sorts of speeds and to cover the distance of 29 kilometres, it took him over an hour and 14 minutes riding on the quadricycle, which was named after his mother. So, yes. Also, as the DJ was just saying, on the 14th of April 2019, we had the 1,000th Formula One Grand Prix race at Shanghai, and that is the most epically awesome sport to watch just because of the amount of science involved in making those cars fly around the track while still staying in contact to the ground. Anyone watch, either of you guys watch that race?
No, my dad does.
I missed out.
It's one of the things I love when my uncle's here. We sit down and we watch the Formula One, and if anyone comes in and starts disturbing us, it's shh from both of us. It gets bad when it's my uncle, myself, my oldest brother, my nephew, all in the one room watching it. Someone comes in, they get in trouble. Just ask the door-to-door salesman who came and knocked on the door when we were all there. And my mum, very unpolite, he said, "Go away, we're not interested," without even getting out of her seat. But 23rd of April, 2013, Star Trek Into Darkness, directed by J.J. Abrams, starring Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto, premieres in Sydney. Do you guys enjoy the new Star Trek or don't really care?
I honestly haven't seen any of the new ones.
They're interesting. They're interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I do miss Leonard Nimoy. I missed Leonard Nimoy's entry. And I like the tribute they gave him on Into Darkness.
Well, he was actually in there. So, yeah.
No, he wasn't.
Oh, pardon?
He wasn't.
They had the original Spock.
Yeah, they had the original Spock.
In the first one, didn't they?
Yeah, they had him in the first one.
Into Darkness is a remake of Wrath of Khan, I think.
Yeah, but they actually have Leonard Nimoy. Was he still alive then in 2013? Because they actually had the original Spock as an older Spock comes in and helps them to defeat him.
They had him as a cameo, yes.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I think it would be the third one. Yeah.
No, he was in Into Darkness because he helped to defeat
Khan
in that one as well, because it was his red fluid or red substance was the thing that was being used to destroy planets and so forth.
Oh, yeah, it was Beyond that was the one that Leonard Nimoy wasn't in that one. Yeah, my mistake. Yep, it was Star Trek Beyond that didn't have Leonard Nimoy.
For all the Trekkies that are gathering up their various assortment of weaponry from the movies and TV series,
we don't need him.
Set your phasers to stun only in case you miss him and hit us. Shoot the little brown one. We will give him a red shirt to make it easy, so you can go after him though he's just a red shirt in the original series.
Okay, but if they're like, which one was it? The newer series, like Next Generation, then the red shirts are the captains.
Yeah, but no. We want them to go after the original series. We want to give them that classic feel to things.
Fair enough.
But I would say the new ones are pretty good. The new ones are pretty good in terms of how Chris Pine plays a good Captain Kirk. And yeah,
the original series is still pretty epic.
Yeah. Oh, no one can beat Shatner. Shatner was...
Any female can beat Shatner. All she has to do is just bat her eyelids.
No, I mean in terms of acting as Kirk.
Yeah, I mean, isn't like the plot of the original pilot before they'd actually cast Shatner, that he's being kidnapped, the captain is being kidnapped by aliens disguised as women?
I can't remember off the top of my head. It's so long since I last watched it. But I know, a number of times he got into trouble for sleeping with the enemy. And that was the reason why with Chris Pine's character, he's sleeping around with all the different females that he comes across. So, yes. Unfortunately, Shatner seemed to think that he actually was a stud. Yes, big mistake there. 23rd of April, 2018, Marvel's Avengers Infinity War, directed by the Russo brothers, starring Chris Evans, Robert Downey Jr., and a large ensemble, premieres in LA. We had to put something in there to help support the Marvel franchise as it's starting to slump.
And Endgame came out yesterday.
End, not Ender.
Endgame.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were saying Endgame.
It's kind of like you're trying to talk about Marvel and Minecraft in the same sentence.
Or Robson Scott Card.
Anyway, moving along. Remembrances, we have on the 22nd of April 2019, Kiyoshi Kawakubo, Japanese voice actor. Prominent anime roles included Guam in Gurren Lagann, Kevin Yeager in D. Greyman, and Quincy in Bubblegum Crisis and Scramble Wars. passed away at the age of passed away on the 16th of April at the age of 89. How come I got the 22nd of April and the 16th of April?
He passed away on 16th. They announced his death on the 22nd.
Okay. Well, there you go, folks. 23rd of April, 1616. We have a celebrity who hit the jackpot of birthday and date of dying. William Shakespeare, born and died on the same day, 52 years apart. He was an English poet, playwright, actor, supposedly the greatest writer in the English language, and the world's greatest dramatist. And now being called into question for, did he actually write his own work, or was it actually his boyfriend? We'll never know, unless you build a time machine and go back. And if you do, getting to answer the question of to be or not to be, because that is the question that's never truly been answered. 23rd of April, 1850, William Wordsworth, English romantic poet, who with Samuel Taylor Coleridge helped to launch the Romantic Age in English literature. Yes, some amazingly brilliant work, but yes, also some terribly horrible stuff. Haven't missed anyone there, have I? No. Birthdays, 23rd of April, 1901, E.B. Ford, British ecological geneticist. He was a leader among the British biologists who investigated the role of natural selection in nature. He was born in Dalton-on-Furness in Lancashire. 26th of April, 1616, as we already said, William Shakespeare was born and baptised in Stratford-upon-Avon, Warwickshire. 23rd of April, 1928, Shirley Temple, American actress, singer, dancer, businesswoman, diplomat, one of the most prolific child actresses who had a drink named after her.
That's awesome.
Famous for many musicals and musical and dance numbers, including the Good Ship Lollipop, which we won't sing to you at the moment because you'll get it stuck in your head all day and you'll want to kill us. Well, I have to say, she was actually quite an attractive lady when she grew up. 23rd of April, 1941, Ray Tomlinson, a pioneering American computer programmer who implemented the first email program on ARPANET system, which was the precursor for the internet, in 1971. He is internationally known and credited as the inventor of email. It was the first system able to send mail between users on different hosts connected to the ARPANET. So, yes.
And that completely changed the world.
Yes, just think all those Nigerian princes with all those hundreds of millions of dollars wouldn't have been able to contact anybody asking for help.
Yes, they could still be trapped in Nigeria, along with all of the other millions of Nigerian princes.
That's it.
Well, imagine the hackers with the Trojan viruses sent through emails.
Well, the email client was actually the weak point for one of the first major, like, state-sponsored hacking attacks.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Cliff Stoll's book, The Cuckoo's Egg. Basically, the hackers, who were Germans working for the KGB, worked out that if you sent an email to the admin account with an attachment, so you'd use not exactly an email, but on the same local computer, you'd send a file to the admin account, which would give it the permissions the admin account had. So they worked out you could write a script which would then run as admin and give them access to the computer.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys remember the old email bombs?
I don't think so. I think maybe. I might have been a bit young for that.
If you had someone who was really annoying and painful, but you wanted to just get them booted from being able to access the internet for a while in the old dial-up days, you would send them an email which was full of extra attachments, and you would send multiples. So you would send, say, 1,000 copies of the same email at, say, 1 meg, and it would clutter up the ISP, and it would shut down because it just couldn't handle that sort of amount of information coming in at once. And you do that day after day after day after day, and eventually it would all be, because it's all going to the same address, that person's address would be deleted and they'd be kicked off their server.
Really, my works HR lady managed to do that the other day.
What? She got herself kicked off.
Yeah, she sent out an email to like 50 people and
spam filter.
Yeah, I think it was Yahoo spam filter blocked us.
Yeah, but there was actually a website called Noah's Ark where you could actually, it was actually just a special hacking site hidden away, and you had to have this specific IP address to type in to actually access it. And it actually had an option there to email bomb people. So you could type in their email address and it would just do it day after day after day until they got booted, amongst many, many other naughty things that I probably shouldn't talk about because I get in trouble. Moving along, 23rd of April, 15-16, we have an amazing event of interest. We have the German Beer Purity Law, or Reinheitsgebot, which is a series of regulations limiting the number of ingredients in beer in Germany and the states of the former Holy Roman Empire. So quite a interesting little piece of trivia there.
I wonder how they'd feel about all the hipsters with like their cherry beer and their chocolate beer and all of that.
Probably lock them up or execute them.
Witches!
I bet there was a curse those microbreweries. Must hang them.
No, they actually like, Germans actually like microbreweries. It's just the purity of the beer's got to be right. And if you've ever had German beer, apparently it's the best around. There's an argument between them and the Belgians about who brews the best. But from what I can understand, as long as it's not American beer, everybody loves it. 23rd of April, 2005. The very first ever YouTube video titled Me at the Zoo was published by user Jord. It was uploaded on April 23, 2005 at 20:27:12 PTD by the site's co-founder, Jord. Is it Jord or Jawed?
Jawed.
Looks like Jord. Karim. With the username Jord. I'm going to call him Jord. And recorded by his high school friend, Yakov Lapinski. So, just out of curiosity, with all the demonetization, is this still monetized? Is he making money for himself off of his own video?
Well, it's not deemed as hateful or anything, so they at the zoo sounds so innocent.
But is it a breach of copyright? Did he have permission from San Diego Zoo to be featuring them and their elephants?
Oh.
Those elephants have privacy rights too. Did they sign a waiver?
Has he shared the monetary rewards that he's received with the elephants and the zoo for their involvement in him being famous? I doubt it. I think we should sue him for the elephants.
Wasn't there a court case with the monkey taking a selfie and how...
Yeah, and there was argument about who owned the copyright to the picture.
Yeah.
It was a legitimate discussion and case. Who owned the copyright to the picture and therefore was to be in receipt of the thousands of dollars that were coming through as royalty? But moving along, 23rd of April, 1988, the MIT Aeronautics and Astronauts Department Daedalus, a human-powered aircraft, flew a distance of 72.4 miles in 3 hours and 54 minutes from Heraklion on the island of Crete to the island of Santorini. The flight holds official FAI world records for total distance, straight line distance, and duration for a human-powered aircraft. You've forgotten the name of the guy who was actually the pilot here. I don't know. Gave him all the details the other night, folks, and he just stuffed me up.
Ah, here it is. It was by the name of Canolis Canelopoulos. That's the name. It's an Olympic cyclist.
Yeah. He was actually a Greek. He pedaled it, so he wasn't actually. There we go, a hard-working Greek. Better move along now before the Greeks find out about that and get upset. where was I? I was making fun of the Greeks. And I think, is that everything for this week? It is. Alrighty. So if you want to listen to us somewhere different to where you are now, where can they hear us at? DJ?
They can hear us at Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, or even at the That's Not Canon website.
And our email address, Professor?
nerdsamalgamated@gmail.com.
And Twit?
At an amalgamated.
And our Facebook page, as always, Nerds Amalgamated. Love to hear from you. Yeah. Are we giving anyone a shout out this week for their podcast?
None I can think of, no.
No.
Well, the Humor Experiment is holding a course. Well, they're about to start a course.
Oh, there we go.
I did have the link for it open. I saw this afternoon, but I seem to have lost it right now.
Well, we'll have to quickly get that up so we can give people some details. Have you got the details there yet?
Page is loading.
Okay.
Because we live in Australia.
While we're waiting.
They're doing a physical theatre event this weekend and a course. This is the last week to sign up for their... it looks like clowning and theatre course.
Well, there you go, DJ. You're a clown.
Course.
We need a course or something. Other than that, I guess we just have to say thank you to the Chinese gamers and who aren't hacking because they've got superior computers. And take care of each other and keep hydrated, especially after eating all your Easter eggs from Easter. So it's good night from me.
See you guys.
See you next week.
Hooroo.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.